Today I'm going to talk about one of the most fundamental teachings of the Bible. It is fundamental, yet it encompasses all of the teachings of the Scriptures. It is the teaching of obedience to God. Christ was a good example of this. Christ in the garden was our scripture reading. Just before this time was the time of the Last Supper. And then Christ and his disciples left. And Christ left his disciples, all except for Peter, James, and John, outside of the garden. But he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he went into the garden to pray. He told them to sit down and keep watch for him while he went to pray. He had a lot of burdens on him that night. He had the whole world on his shoulders. So Christ went to pray. After a little bit, he came back, and all the disciples had fallen asleep. And he asked them, "Why have you fallen asleep? I told you to keep watch." So then he left them again, and he also prayed for a while, and then came back. And they were asleep again. And he did it for the third time. And they came back. And they were asleep again. Christ was in great agony that night. It's recorded in Luke that his sweat turned to blood. This is a very rare occurrence. A person has to be in a lot of agony for his blood cells to burst and mix with sweat. So Christ was in a lot of pain in making his decision. Christ had a lot to think about that night. First of all, what about himself? Christ was a human being. He had feelings. He had to think about his life. His life had just begun. He was only 33 years old. He had many years to go before he would have been an old man. As you notice I'm talking here, I'm not saying that Christ was thinking these, but these are a few of the things that he might have been thinking. He had devoted all of his life to the gospel, always traveling around and doing things for other people, never doing anything for himself, always for other people. He had never even taken time to establish a home for himself. He was raised in Nazareth. That was where he was, his home while he was a child. But after he left, he didn't have a home anymore. And he never took time to establish one. Maybe there were other things that Christ would have liked to have done. Maybe get married and raise a family. You might say, well, this doesn't sound right for Christ. But Christ was a human being. He had feelings. He had a lot of love. Or maybe he would have liked to have just carried on his stepfather's work, his trade of being a carpenter. There may have been times when Christ thought about throwing everything down and going back home and working with his stepfather. Christ had his life to think about, and he also had his death to think about. The thought of dying. Death was a frightful thing, even for Christ. Many times you hear Christian people say, well, death's not all that bad. But when it comes upon them, you find out when one of their loved ones have died, that it's a lot worse than they had claimed it to be. When the John the Baptist died, Jesus left the multitude to go to a quiet place. We find out that the multitude followed him But Jesus was still grieved over the death of John the Baptist. Christ had never experienced death. He had raised people from the dead, but he never experienced death for himself. The death that he was to die, he knew would be a cruel one. Can you think of it? A death where all could see. Because the people that crucified him knew they would have to have the support of the people, of the followers of Christ, and of the crowd that was in Jerusalem at that time. Death by people that hate you. I guess that's one of the worst thoughts a person could have. And Christ didn't deserve to die. Christ was the least deserving of death of anybody that's ever walked on this earth. He just didn't deserve to die. He had no sins. Christ had mankind to think about also. He knew that he was their only hope of salvation. But he was rejected by the same people he came to save. He was rejected by the Jews. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. In fact, they were the ones that wanted to kill him. So you can imagine what he was thinking. Now keep in mind, Christ is in the garden and he's by himself. The disciples that were with him couldn't keep awake, even to keep watch. There was no home for him here on this earth. He just didn't fit in. You've heard some people say of other people that they were too good. Well, Christ was literally too good. He had never sinned. In Matthew, the 8th chapter, verse 20, "And Jesus said to him, 'The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head.'" He wasn't even welcome in the world that he came to save. But Christ also had his disciples to think about, and he had all the multitudes that followed him. He had great love for these people. He had great love for them. He also knew that he was being betrayed at that very moment, and that they were going to try and kill him. Christ also had the will of his Father to think about. He had a great love for God. At the age of 12, he was in the temple. And he was found by his mother. He was talking to the philosophers. And she asked him what he was doing. And he said that he was doing the work of his Father. Christ, from a very small age, knew who he was and knew that God had sent him. The only comfort that Christ received while in the garden, and it's mentioned in the account in Luke, that God sent an angel to comfort him. So this was another indication of what God's will was for Christ. God's will for him was to die on the cross. Christ knew that God wanted him to die on the cross. Let's think a little bit about the loneliness. His favorite disciples, Peter, James, and John, had fallen asleep on him. They couldn't even keep watch for a couple of hours while he went to pray. Maybe they didn't really understand. Maybe they didn't. But still, even though they were probably tired, you'd think they could have stayed awake to keep watch. He knew that Judas, one of the chosen 12, was betraying him at that time. He knew that Judas was bringing the priest and the Pharisees to get him. So just think, one of your chosen ones betraying you. How bad that made Christ feel. He knew that most of the people that had praised him before would turn against him. We read about the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It was like a big parade. They were really glad to see Christ. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to our King. But yet these people were looking for a military leader. Christ came as a Prince of Peace. Came to rule the world in love. But these people wanted someone who would conquer the world, so that they could rule. So he knew that mankind had turned against him. And he knew that he had to die alone. There was no need for anyone else to die. But there was a need for Christ to die. And he knew at that time that he had to die alone, if he chose to do the will of his Father, to obey God. Let's look a little bit at the trust. Christ could not trust his disciples. Judas was betraying him at that very moment. He knew that Peter would deny him. He told Peter before the cock crowed that he would deny him three times. Christ already knew that Peter would deny him. And Peter, James, and John couldn't even stay awake to keep watch. He just couldn't trust his disciples. And he couldn't trust mankind. He knew what had been prophesied, that for him to die on the cross, he knew that the Pharisees and the priests were out to get him, to kill him. In John the 11th chapter, about verses 50 through 60, it speaks that they had sent a warrant out for the arrest of Christ or any information leading up to it. So Christ had stayed away from Jerusalem for a while. This was just before his triumphal entry in Jerusalem. And he knew that he wasn't the type of the leader that mankind wanted, and that they had turned against him. So he couldn't trust man. But he could trust God. He had the assurance from God that he would be raised from the dead. He had the confidence, the faith. He knew what God's promises was for him. And he was reaffirmed by an angel from God that he was doing the will of his Father. The will of his Father was that he might die on the cross. Yes, Christ went through a lot that night. He had the whole world on his shoulders, and it was balanced there. Either way that he wanted it to go, it could have went. Then he prayed the prayer, "Not my will, but thine be done." Christ wanted to obey his Father, and he told him to do what is your will for me. He had the whole world on his shoulders, but he chose, and he chose to obey God. We have to make many decisions in life, and many of them concern whether to obey or disobey God. I guess one of the first decisions that anybody has to make is that of baptism, that to accept Christ. John 16:16 says, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Some choose to accept Christ and to live a life for Him with a blessing from God. We're not promised a rose garden. Well, we do have the promise of blessings when trials come upon us, that God will help see us through them. And there are some that choose not to accept Christ. They may not have been confronted directly with the question, but still, in not doing it, they have chosen not to accept Him. And so they choose not to obey God. And then there's those that put it off. Those that think, well, I'll wait till I get older because I want to have all the fun I can right now. They've got a great scripture to back them up, Matthew 20. Of the workers in the vineyard, there's some that only worked 1 hour and they got paid just as much as the ones that worked all day. But this was the time of harvest. What if all the grapes had been in at noon? What about the ones that were hired in the afternoon? They would never have gotten paid. What if those who put it off die before they have the chance? Then they have chosen to disobey God. Then there's a decision after baptism whether or not to follow Christ. I think this is really important because there are a lot of people that are baptized and then they fall away. Matthew 7, the 21st verse says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Baptism is just the beginning. Baptism will get you nowhere if you don't live for God after you've been baptized. Then there's really a hard time in life when many fall away, and that's the time in the teens, in the early 20s. Every day, things are getting harder for young people to live and to follow Christ. There's so many temptations of sex, of drugs, and of alcohol. Many think that I'll do as I want to now and later I'll turn back to God. And God is a forgiving God. He will forgive. But it's really hard after you've started out disobeying God to turn back to God. There's the most that make that decision later continue living their own lives. And they don't turn back to God as though they have chosen to disobey God. In everyday life, we have to make decisions. Decisions that concern whether we obey or disobey God. The decision to speak up for what is right. When we don't speak up for what is right, what are we doing but approving what is wrong? And so we choose to disobey God. To let people know that we are a Christian. I guess you've all heard about the lumberjack who was converted and became a Christian. He went to camp for a season, and he came back to his church, and they were talking, and he said, "Well, did anybody give you a rough time about being a Christian?" He says, "No." So they never told him. He chose to disobey God. He was ashamed that he was a Christian. He was scared of what might happen. We all have decisions to make concerning whether to obey or disobey God. Sometimes it's really tempting to disobey God. When confronted with a problem like this, I ask you to remember Christ in the garden that night. He really suffered to make that decision whether to die for us. And he chose to obey God, to do the will of his Father. I just ask that you choose to obey God, but it goes back to you yourself. The choice is yours. Father in heaven, we just thank you for this time that we can be together and worship you. Father, we pray that you might be with each one of our hearts. Just help us in the times when we need our strength from you. Just pray that help us in the decision that we make, and that we'll all obey you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.